Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Well, I am very privileged today to be joined by Sarah Storelli. It's lovely to see you, Sarah.
Likewise. So great to be here with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you don't know Sarah Storelli, I'm not going to read her half-long bio. I'll read her short bio, which we've just cut down a little bit. So we're here to talk about, first of all, we're going to give you an AI reality check. That's what we're here to talk about. And Sarah has been in tech for her whole career, and she serves as Amazon Web Services worldwide public sector global marketing leader to make the world a better place with cutting edge tech in business, government, and society as well. And she serves on various boards in education, tech, and also nonprofit. So she's also ex-IBMer. And so we know a lot of stuff between us about kind of what's been going on, what is going on, and I'm kind of a bit lost really with where we are with AI. I think that there's been so much hype. I think a lot of people are just kind of like, it's kind of caused inactivity. People are a bit fed up with a lot of it. And hopefully we're going to add some kind of reality to where we are right now and where we kind of think things are going. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think, Sarah, about where we are right now with AI toothbrushes and AI hairbrushes and things like that?
Yeah, well, I think we're at an interesting inflection point. And I think as you and I have already talked, I mean, we're already there, you know, in the AI fanfare craze in the moment. Every company is using AI or trying to use it, trying to understand it. What are the implications? What are the benefits? And so, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, really from a big tech perspective, is that it is here to be leveraged in such a way to make our lives easier, our workloads more strategic, and to really help all of us as individuals versus take away and to really remove, I would say, a lot of that non-productivity, you know, from the everyday lives and really any capacity, which is also why you're seeing, you know, AI toothbrushes. Although that is an interesting one to try to delve into.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the problem is that the AI, artificial intelligence kind of buzzword, it's like, oh well, I'm using AI. It's just like, well, no, you're not, right? And this is the first thing, isn't it? That a lot of companies kind of like, well, we're using AI, and then they spend, I don't know, a lot of money getting someone to write some sort of hyperbole or, you know, just some words that mean really nothing to anybody, because it means something to them. Well, we're doing all these amazing things, but actually, like, what are you actually talking about, right? And this is the problem that I face, and I'm sure you've seen it with some of these businesses that are kind of in, you know, incubator programs at universities is one example, right? And the accelerator programs and things like this. And it's like, if you can't explain it, in my opinion, to like a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old or to your grandmother, then it's kind of like lost all meaning in my kind of mind, you know?
Right. Well, and I think that's a huge question right now, is how are companies or these different programs leveraging AI? Because anyone can put that in a sentence. But then really, when you do try to distill it down, it's, well, what are those results? What is it actually producing? What does it mean? And so I think that it's a buzzword for sure right now, where it's just trying to attract anyone and everyone as far as, oh, people thinking that they're using AI, but they really might actually not even be using it in that capacity, in which case they really don't have an education on it. And so there are various resources out there, you know, for an AI 101, or really to understand how could you actually apply that in your day job. I mean, for your work, maybe it is a chat bot, but it then still becomes a question, how is that really helping someone, you know, even balance their workload, or what is it doing in there, you know, whether they are at home leveraging AI, like, what is it actually solving or doing to help make someone's life easier? And then also from a security perspective, for privacy, like what are those other additional implications that I think sometimes folks necessarily aren't taking into account? I can say, you know, from a big tech perspective, that is a constant conversation as far as how secure folks' data is and how is AI being used, and to not cross those boundaries because there's significant legal implications and compromising of, you know, people's identities to various other forms of data that could actually lead to significant problems. And so there really almost needs to be a little bit of a pause. I feel like AI has just gone so quickly, and especially with generative AI, you know, the huge hype of that from last year, where it's just dominating in the news cycle. And well, of course, I'm a huge proponent of technology. I love it. I think it can go make the world safer, smarter, more sustainable, more efficient. I think there needs to be a little bit of a just a pause even between, I would say, just the technology ecosystem entirely to really understand, all right, what is this technology we're putting forth? And I know at various big tech companies, we are thinking of that, where it's there's a fine balance, right? Because you don't want to be late to the game, but you also want to make sure that you're not actually putting technology out there that could hurt people's everyday lives, you know, global citizens in any capacity for what they're looking to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I think it is very risky, certainly for internal information as well. I know we spoke a little bit about that before, and how I was doing a bit of research, obviously, before coming on this call, and how businesses are not actually providing the AI tools that their employees need. So what's happening is that there's a current trend that employees are actually using their own AI tools to deliver work because they're actually overstretched because they're working more than they were before. When actually, if they implemented some of these solutions, they would actually be able to be secure and not actually put company data out there within, you know, other people's buckets of information, right? Buckets of words, yeah, which is very worrying. If I was a CIO I would be pretty worried really about this in my business.
Yeah, you know, I think that is an interesting point, because a lot of companies, you know, who are even the ones developing the technology and releasing it, they're not, to your point, releasing it for their employees to use, which then becomes that compromisable issue of, well, what are folks using to go get their work done? Or are they using another company's technology that's actually more or less forbidden to use within theirs? And so it does start actually getting into murky waters as far as these companies really needing to, once again, kind of take a pause. It's not saying slow down. Well, all of us here, I know you and I alike, we're full speed ahead type of people here, but there does need to be a little bit of that just logical programmatic perspective chimed in to really think through implications and what resources are being made available to employees. Because if folks are going to go tout that to the world about how great their services are, but employees aren't actually using them to go streamline their workloads, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a big worry, you know. But I mean, I was sort of doing a bit more research around like what's coming next. And I mean, right now, as date of being here on this video, we're in May 24, right? And Google is rebranding its assistants as more advanced agents. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, how I see the future kind of coming along. And you know, if you look back to when Aibo, the robot, was launched by Sony, the AI robot, right? That was launched. And my friend Nicholas Babin, who I think you probably have seen, he actually launched that within Europe for Sony. And so they had this robot dog, right? This AI dog, right? That would read out emails and all sorts of things. But actually, it was quite a simple product, yeah. But what Google are saying is they're actually going to be launching a more comprehensive AI agent, is what they're calling it, which will involve audio, it'll involve video, it's going to involve reasoning, planning, and memory skills, which all are interesting for me, because then it can take multiple steps, right? So, as opposed to like my Alexa, which just annoys me a lot of the time because she just forgets. Like, once Alexa has these new advancements as well, because obviously, you know, Amazon's invested in I forget which company recently, but is it Anthropic, whatever it's called? Anthropic, yeah. You're investing like billions and billions into this company over the next few years, whatever. So I can see all of the big tech firms actually launching way more advanced AI, robots, if you like. But I think the user interface needs to be a little bit more interesting, in my opinion.
Right, and I mean, to that point, it then becomes, like, at what point is it too much? I think a lot of conversations that I'm always having with folks in the industry, and whether it's colleagues or non-colleagues alike, is, you know, how else, you know, can it be used, in the sense that at some point, you know, we are still humans as far as having that level of intelligence and emotions to make strategic thinking decisions. And so, from an AI perspective, it is interesting and great if it can take on all these certain tasks to really offload the monotony of the day-to-day grind from all of us. Well, my goodness, great, highly welcomed. But at the same time, it then becomes, well, at what point would it get to be almost too much, or potentially not even helpful? Or if it, you know, does start going down the spectrum of potentially getting to be so intelligent where it can acquire human emotions, I mean, I think that's something that I think of, because that has been a conversation where folks say, oh, well, you know, AI can't be thinking on its own, or it's not, you know, it still doesn't have human feelings to make those decisions. But the other question is, will it? If we now can see all of its current capabilities and just the rapidity of how technology is advancing so quickly, what will that look like in, you know, 5 to 10 years? And to see all of these technology companies in this AI race, more or less, to go put out the next best product, the next best technology to go help, you know, make the world a better place in any capacity, for what that means to people. I think it'll be really interesting to see what developments happen, you know, whether it is kind of over the next year, but 5 years out, 10 years out, and how that thinking continues to become more intelligent, and with AI actually thinking like a human, and then taking it a step further to be like, well, can then it actually feel like a human if it's being programmed in such capacity of mirroring us right now anyway?
Very much so. Very much so. It's certainly an interesting piece. I mean, like, from what I was saying before, like about MIT Technology Review and how they're saying that actually robots will be the next big thing, right? So robotics is going to be the next kind of bubble, yeah, because we're in an AI bubble right now. And I was saying that I think, you know, once you put those two together, AI with a robot, that actually becomes quite interesting. It becomes quite exciting. But, you know, the price, obviously, for those sorts of things in the beginning is going to be hugely expensive. But then after mass production kicks in and we start actually really getting some value from these things, except for, you know, like the lawnmower or, you know, the vacuum cleaner. But it's like, is that AI, or is that just like sensors, right? Like, this is the whole point that we're trying to make here, isn't it? The reality of it. It's like, hold on a minute, that's not AI. That's just something that has sensors, right? That is right. Told, if you do this, then this is what you need to do. You know, it's a really interesting piece. I find it hugely interesting, this entire piece, really.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it could even be, at one point, everybody has a pet AI, you know, that does help, you know, solve their problems, whether that is at home or in the workplace, where it's just that natural accompaniment to them. But then it also then begs the next question, when I continue to peel back the onion layers, especially just given my various involvements, as I also serve on the World Institute on Disability Advisory Board. And so my mind then goes to, well, what does accessibility look like? And then I'm also a trustee of the Consumer Technology Association Foundation, which then we focus on accessibility, as well as, you know, Silver Tech, so for the aging population. And so it then becomes a discussion of how are we taking in all of these underrepresented populations into account with the development of technology, and how accessible is it for everyone to have an AI pet? And, you know, especially for those folks who may be blind or deaf or various other disabilities, how are we making it then accessible for them versus someone who may not have a disability? And okay, well, here's my little AI dog that's a little pet, and it's going to go read back my calendar to me for the day and go offload a bunch of my, you know, to-do list for me that I can now focus on strategic thinking and work and execution and building relationships with my customers and partners that an AI little dog couldn't do. Well, you know, it then just starts though to beg that question of how are we being consciously aware of these technology implications and making sure that they are accessible for as many people as possible.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. You know, our father, he's got dementia, right? And actually, it would have been really amazing to have implemented something, you know, because I think the future of what's coming could have been really good for him. But it's actually too late now, I think, to implement something like that, right? It would have been lovely to have like the Amazon, you know, the screen with the camera and all of this sorts of things. But actually, the problem is that that can become too intrusive. So it's kind of like each one of these kind of impediments needs something really specifically designed for that individual, right? And that's, and it's a really difficult piece. Yeah, it's a really difficult piece. And but I think it has so much potential for the future. It's just they go where the money is, right? This is the problem, is that it's not that important, right, to them, because actually the lifetime customer value is lower than getting a younger individual to be using this technology, right? And that is sad, yeah? It's really sad, but that's just the way of the world, isn't it, at the end of the day? But I mean, I know you guys have got all sorts of massive, massive budgets for innovation and stuff. Like I think AWS, Amazon in particular, has the largest budget for innovation in any company, right, that I've heard of, for, per earnings per capita or whatever, right?
We may. I don't want to be 100% quoted on that, no. But it is massive. As you know, as a lot of these tech companies, because I do think at that point as well, it's, well, then who is actually behind the technology and making it? Whereas I do feel like with big tech, there are massive guidelines, you know, and implications and legalities that do have to be followed in order to be pushing out such technologies for the general population or various, you know, customers, partners, et cetera, to be using, or if that is the everyday person as well, not just solely, you know, in business to business. And so I think that once again, it's just an interesting time to understand, well, who is going to be making it? Because especially when I'm at so many different trade shows or even CES, it's a perfect example, you know, when I'm walking the show floor. And there are so many amazing innovations from companies all over the world, whether they're, you know, a one person show to, you know, the largest corporation in the world. It's always so interesting just to see that different diversity, the dynamic, the innovation that exists within tech. But then I always am thinking of, well, who's actually making that? And so I think it's a question important for all, especially with big tech, of, all right, well, where are we going to go invest in something that isn't going to actually compromise our company, our brand, versus, you know, someone in Timbuktu, you know, developing, oh, a really cool innovation, but yet it's going to go compromise your entire data, you know, and lack security. And so I think, once again, there's just such an accountability issue that I know big tech companies are always thinking of in that sense as well. It's just, we can't be putting products on the market that are going to go compromise security. And we have to be holding ourselves to the highest standard from an accountability perspective to make sure we're not misleading the public, yeah. you know, private sector in any capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to regulation, I mean, you know, the EU launched the AI Act or whatever it is. The UK has just launched a Cybersecurity Act, right? And these are really positive moves, yeah, because those are encouraging other countries to actually launch these protective frameworks, right? So I'm quite excited about that. I think that it's very exciting. It's something that is absolutely necessary to protect people. And but I think, you know, when it comes to like how to use the technologies that are out there, right? Like so for example, like on LinkedIn and Facebook and X and all of these platforms, you're in essence training AI to provide you the information that you want to see, right? So the more actions and the more people that you engage with, who you like to engage with, that actually changes your feed, right, completely. So the AI that actually is working in the background of a lot of these things, like we really don't know what it is. And I'm quite excited for the future of that, because I think that actually having a more open kind of policy around that of like, well, what is it? How is it actually working? Do you know what I mean? And I think that's going to be great for jobs and for people who are like, well, at the moment I'm in this job. And actually, I think my job's going to disappear in the next year or two. But if I just study this, this and this, then I can be in an even better job. And that's been exciting me for ages. I've been speaking about that for like three or 4 years. Because there's so much potential, but it's actually just not done yet, you know?
Right. Well, and it's also interesting because I've noticed, since I am an active social media user, as you know, like everything, check out my LinkedIn. But even in the context of LinkedIn, you know, what's interesting to me is even when you want to send someone a direct message, and it just has, you know, a few of these automatic phrases. So, you know, whether they're using ChatGPT or something, but it also is, to my point, I'm like, but how inquisitive and intelligent actually is that? I mean, I feel like they probably have like 5 to 10 standard, or maybe not even 10, you know, messages that, oh, just come up automatically, where it's like, I don't really find that incredibly helpful because I change it anyway, yes, because I'm a more relational person versus transactional. Yeah. So no, I would never just hit send on, you know, the canned messaging that they have. It doesn't really save me that much time, at least in that certain instance or capacity. And then even on Instagram, which I've noticed lately, you know, it has Meta AI or even the search bar. I'm like, it's the search bar. So it's like, it's very bizarre to me. Like, how is that AI? Like, it's literally the search bar of, hey, what topic do you want to go find out more about? Or I could use the search bar previously. So I just feel like people are stamping AI on everything. And it's like, but really how intelligent is that? It's a search bar, and great, I want to go find you know, healthy recipes, or you know, best wineries in Italy, you know, whichever the case, you know, I don't need their Meta AI for that, and to just funnel in a bunch of fluff that actually isn't helpful either, you know. And I also don't want to be seeing those things repetitively either in my feed just because I searched for them one time. And so I think there is some work to be done on how some of these companies are leveraging AI and what capacity, which goes back to our whole conversation anyway, of just it being this huge craze. Everyone's using it. Everybody's stamping the term AI. But is it really? No, I can't hear you.
Weirdly enough, I was muted. Very strange. I don't quite know why, actually. That's very strange. But literally, it makes me laugh, right? Because so when I go to the gym, basically this chap came in there and he gave someone like a whole load of like wafer biscuits, yeah, like high sugar, like wafers, right? And they were sitting on the side in the gym, and I was like, who's those? Like, who would go to a gym and work out and take a whole load of wafer biscuits, yeah? And I thought it was a bit weird. So what I did is I took a picture of these wafer biscuits, right? I kid you not. And then I went up to the counter and I was like, whose wafer biscuits are those then? And someone admitted that they were hers, right? This trainer, yeah, they were her wafer biscuits, right? And then what happened was, is I connect, because we're connected on Instagram. So I sent her a picture of the wafer biscuits on Instagram, right? And I was like, oh, do you fancy a wafer biscuit, do you? Because I'm just winding her up, right? Because she's a trainer, yeah? And I just thought it's hilarious. Right. She probably listens to this. I think she listens to this. And and then what happened was, is that both of us were followed around for 10 days, right, by adverts for these wafer biscuits. I was followed on Facebook firstly, and then Instagram, right? And then she got followed around by this ad, okay? And it's like, yeah, but we hate wafer biscuits, right? Like we hate that junk food, right? Because we want to get ripped, right? Like, what do I want to eat that for? Like, I want protein, I want healthy food, I don't want that junk, right? And she's the same, and it really wound her up in the end. Like, it really wound her up, yeah? But we had a good laugh about it. But it's like, how intelligent is that system, right? It's intelligent because it's read the image, right? Right? It's read the image, because otherwise, how is an image going to show up in your feed? It's not going to show up, right? Like,
right.
It's not a coincidence, yeah? Or maybe they're listening to my microphone. They could be listening to my microphone while I'm... Because we give away all these permissions for everything, yeah? And if you're listening to this, you've never watched the Social Dilemma, then you need to go watch that, because you'd be surprised. Like, so few people really know what's going on here. And so I'm just kind of a bit shocked, really, by the whole thing, if I'm honest.
Right. Well, but then also to that point, it's also that's ad targeting, you know, I mean, from a marketing perspective. So it also then begs the question, to what degree is AI used, you know, to your point, okay, is it reading images? But it's also, you know, to your point, I mean, many people sign their lives away, or we all do, with social media, and we don't really know it. So these systems are so intelligent where they are tracking, okay, what are you clicking on? What do you want to see more? So it's going to start populating more in your feed, or they are listening to our conversations in whichever capacity. And so it then becomes the point of, well, those are also just intelligent marketing tactics that may not even be AI, or AI somehow briefly, you know, couched in there in some maybe capacity, because they once again want to use the term and coin it to get more followers or folks engaged and kind of on this fanciful train of AI where it's actually irrelevant or wrong use cases. And so it is just quite interesting, I think, of how even that dynamic has shifted from in the social media landscape with AI and with these companies who are claiming they're leveraging it, but it's more or less just other different marketing tactics that have become quite intelligent versus truly leveraging AI.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, in terms of like test cases and like what's actually going on, like with businesses right now, like we're at a turning point where, you know, there are so many great, great test cases with AI, you know, like image analysis for, you know, all sorts of like healthcare problems, all sorts of data is being analyzed. Like the where we're at with weather data right now has really taken a step forwards as well. Yeah. Like to analyze the weather data has become, you know, pretty amazing, really. And I'm quite excited about the future, but I think the messages on LinkedIn are rubbish, but actually they're rubbish because they want you to think about the message that you're going to send, but they also want to remind you that actually the next level is coming, because it is coming, right? Like they're not going to put that in there without, because it fulfills quite a lot of actually quite clever. It's quite a clever way of reminding us consumers that actually something more is kind of on the way, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm incredibly excited for the future. I think anything that we can have of technology that helps advance the population, as I've mentioned, from streamlining workloads to everyday tasks that are mundane, I think it's quite exciting, or in regards to weather. I mean, that impacts supply chains. You know, how can we get goods from A to Z, literally, you know, around the world? And so there's so much positivity within technology. And I am a huge proponent of tech for good, because I truly believe that it can help make the world a better place, a safer place, smarter, more efficient, sustainable, all of those wonderful things that we can get, you know, the power of technology in the hands of the people to go advance and sustain the planet, you know, for generations to come. So I'm also quite excited and can't wait to see these evolutions and innovations that come from sometimes the most unlikely people in various corners of the world to the largest of corporations, and where they're investing and how. So I would say, yeah, hold on to your hat, you know, stay tuned. And I know, you know, CES is always a great place to go and experience those innovations firsthand, as of course, many other conferences, of course, AWS reInvent, we'll see you in December in Las Vegas, but many other technology companies as well, just to really see the advancements that are ever increasing and ever evolving. And, you know, to be part of that rapid change is inspiring.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, providing we've got the right data that's going in, then the analysis of it is going to give us so much. It's actually, I'm actually really excited about the future. I'm not worried about artificial general intelligence, if I'm brutally honest. I'm really not worried about that. What I'm more worried about is the lack of thinking that people are doing.
Yes.
I'm worried about people unconsciously moving through life without analyzing what they're doing, without using, you know, using writing tools as one example, using tools to create things when they don't actually think about what they want the tool to do, and letting it just go and do whatever. And it's just like, actually, it's dumbing people's brains. And this is a real, real problem. But I think some industries are going to be, you know, doing really, really well with all this stuff. Other industries are going to be lagging behind, in certain companies that aren't perhaps embracing this new change. And that does worry me, if I'm honest. It does worry me. So, but I wanted to say, Sarah, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. You know, nice. Thank you so much for your time and all that sort of good stuff. And if you're listening to this and you'd like to discover more on the implications and reality of AI, Stephen Manning and I are creating industry-specific reports as to how AI will affect your job and industry moving forwards. And you can contact me on LinkedIn or on info@influentialvisions.com, and we can tailor something for you specifically. And if you'd like to find Sarah Storelli, you can get her on her LinkedIn, which I will also pop a link somewhere around. Thank you very much again.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.